If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to this week's New Year's Eve edition of the Journal Sentinel Bucks podcast. I'm Matt Velasquez, and I'm on the line with Charles Gardner, who for the second time this season is podcasting with me from Indianapolis. And Charles, you about ready to be done with all this holiday travel?
Wow, the holiday travel has been incredible, Matt. I'm telling you, Atlanta Airport on Wednesday was like I've never seen it. There was not a seat to be had. People standing, sleeping, all over the place. Amazing. And, of course, people going to Nassau while I was coming to Indianapolis. But, hey.
Ooh.
That hurt. That one hurt a little bit when I had to walk by that gate. But, hey, that's it's all part of it. The good news is I arrived safely in Indy after a long day of travel from Oklahoma City, where the Bucks were on Tuesday, as you know, on this trip as they played Dallas and OKC.
Yeah, and in Dallas you got to catch up a little bit with Zaza Pachulia. You know, how'd that go with him?
Well, it was great. You know, Zaza, as everyone knows, is just a tremendous person, and he's loved really everywhere he goes. And it was funny, they actually had to shoo me out of, I was interviewing Zaza after the Maverick shoot around, and so were other reporters, but I stayed longer and kept talking to him. And you know Z, you remember Matt,
he'd
talk to you as long as you need.
Absolutely.
And we were in the little entryway there, and the Bucks people had to come over and say, "You guys, you gotta move." You know, they were starting their shoot around. And they were all like yelling at Z and, you know, kind of kidding him. But he had gone over to the Bucks hotel on Sunday night, talked with coaches and players. I mean, he's genuinely still concerned about what's happening with the Bucks, even though, of course, he wanted to win that game and play very well. And he's playing very well. I see he had 14 points, 15 rebounds as the Mavericks beat Golden State last night, only the second team now to beat the Warriors. So he's playing tremendous. And Rick Carlisle had a great comment. I asked him about Z, and he said, well, he said, I knew him a little bit before, but he said, now that I've really gotten to know him, he's one of the great people in the NBA. Mm. And that reflects the way Zaza is. So happy for his success down there. He's playing next to Dirk, and he's enjoying that. But, you know, he also said, Matt, he really didn't want to leave. He liked his role with the Bucks young players. And he said, at first I didn't know where I got traded, and I was a little worried. And then he said when he heard it was Dallas, he thought, well, okay, you know, that's going to be all right. But he certainly had a profound influence. If you talk to some of the Bucks players, John Henson, for example, gives Z a lot of credit for helping him develop on and off the court as a professional. So,
and they definitely miss him, especially his defense, his leadership, his presence. They're all missed, and I think they're realizing how much they miss him. You know, with the way the season's been going, and now they're doing what they've been doing all season, which is stringing together losses. They've got three in a row now, including that Dallas loss, and you know, then they went to Oklahoma City and fell there. And you know, you got to talk to Billy Donovan a little bit, and he said some things about Jabari Parker that were pretty interesting to you.
Yeah, that was interesting. I asked Billy in the pregame session what he thought about Jabari's progress, and he was very candid, saying he had recruited him very actively when he was the head coach at Florida. Obviously, Jabari went to Duke, didn't go to Florida, but he had seen a lot of his high school games. He's watched him for a long time, so his opinion was interesting to me. And he just said, look, he's 20 years old, and he can evolve to be something else. I got a lot of Twitter reaction because I tweeted that he said Jabari could play the two guard. And wow. Everybody went crazy. He's not a two guard.
That's an opinion, I guess.
Yeah, but hey, that's an opinion. He said it. I went back and listened to my tape again, and that's what he said. So, but I think his point was more whether it's a two guard, small forward, whatever. He's not probably, I don't think we think he's a two guard.
Yeah, he's a guy who plays on the wing, who can handle the ball, who's comfortable in space. Like, okay, yes. I understand. He can, he can hit right. The mid-range jumper. He can hit the corner three. That fits more of a four than a two. But, I kind of understand the general idea he was getting at.
Yeah. Yeah, he was saying in high school he played the five spot. He often played center.
Yeah, well, a lot of guys do because they're the tallest guys in their team.
Right. So he's saying he may not be at the position he's going to be later in his career, which I think is fair enough. But, I mentioned it to Jabari in the locker room after the game in Oklahoma City. And he said, well, hey, and you can see from Jabari's standpoint, he's trying to play as well as he can at the position he's at right now, which is power forward. And he said, hey, that can be my position. He fairly strongly disputed Donovan's take on it. But he said, hey, I can do this. It's there. I just have to keep working at it. And of course, it's been a frustrating about six games for Jabari, shooting about 37%. He was 2-for-7 in Dallas, 2-for-11 in OKC, and played 18 minutes in each game. So that's not a lot of minutes because he just hasn't been effective. So Coach Prunty has been going elsewhere with some of the matchups. And I think it just takes some patience. And we know he's had some big games. He had that big game when the Bucks beat the Warriors, had 19 points. And he's had some big games. He had a big game against Philadelphia, right? The game that you covered, Matt. So I just think you have to remember, 20 years old, and really, as Joe Prunty said, he's still in his rookie year, so to speak. Prunty had an interesting comment. He said he hasn't even played in every NBA arena yet. And I haven't really thought of that. No, he hasn't. So I don't know which ones he has left, but he's still got to get around because he missed so much time last year with the ACL tear.
Definitely, definitely. And so, let's try and take things on a different tack since this is a New Year's Eve edition. We'll kind of, take a look back at the year that was here, 2015, and we'll go through some highs and lows with the team. Charles, when you think about this past calendar year, so the end of last season, the summer, and then the start of this season, what do you think was probably the biggest high for the Bucks?
Well, I think the biggest thing from this calendar year was making the playoffs, and then not just making the playoffs, but giving a respectable showing against the Bulls. I think that was important. Remember, they got down 3-0, and it didn't look too good. And one play was a big play in this entire year. You remember the Dudley pass to Jared Bayless for the winning layup against the Bulls.
At home to make it
3-1. And that was just big, I think, for the franchise's confidence. I don't know what you would say. It was just big to win that playoff game. The Bucks have, of course, not won a playoff series for so long. But then they backed that up by going to Chicago. MCW had a fantastic game in Chicago.
Maybe his best game in a Bucks uniform.
Yeah, it was a tremendous game. And he's been playing better lately. So he's had a few games more like that one. But that made it 3-2, and then we all know they got blown out in Game 6 at home. That might have been one of the biggest downers of the year because there was the anticipation that perhaps they could keep it going and get the series knotted up and really give the Bulls a scare. And we know they lost by 50, what was it?
I think it was 56. Six. Well, yeah. And anytime you lose by 50-plus, it's a big downer. It doesn't matter if it's the regular season against the Spurs, who are in a championship year, or the Warriors. It doesn't matter.
Losing by playoff game.
You can lose by 50 at any level, and that's just a big downer. That's a low. That's a low for the year.
That's a low. And I guess if we want to talk about some highs for the year, Matt, obviously the the win over Golden State. You know, finally the Warriors lost another game last night, but Steph Curry did not play, of course. So there's a little asterisk with it, although the Mavericks, I see one convincingly.
Yeah, a win's a win.
A win's a win. But the Bucks, of course, played them with Steph Curry twice. And, of course, it was a bad back-to-back for Golden State. We all know that. But the Bucks were also playing a back-to-back. And, again, I think that was a big game that kind of it helped put the Bucks on the map. They got a lot of publicity. Draymond Green was upset with how they celebrated. And so they got, you know, into the national news as well. That's what happens when you beat a team that's 24-0. And of course the t-shirts 24-1 and all that was a lot of fun for the Bucks fans. So I think those are some of the things that were very big for the team. Just, you know, obviously the Greg Monroe, if you want to get into transactions, Matt, two of them that were very big in the past year, Greg Monroe signing. I still think that was, again, a very significant transaction because the Lakers and the Knicks certainly thought they had a great shot at him and weren't expecting the Bucks to pull him out from under them, so to speak. So that was a big thing. And also, of course, the trade, Brandon Knight, we've talked about this many times, but the Brandon Knight for MCW at the trade deadline. So there have been a lot of things during the year that have been significant for the future of the franchise. And I think the Bucks are still trying to build. They didn't expect this record they have right now, 12-21, entering the final game of the season of the year, of the calendar year, rather, on New Year's Eve.
You know, and I think you mentioned that with the, you know, the Bucks beating the Warriors and playing them tough out over there, you know, in the Bay. You know, you look at the way that the Bucks have played, you know, and it's kind of a mixed bag. You know, they've split four games with both of last year's, you know, finalist teams. So they beat the Cavs and they lost to the Cavs, you know, and then they beat the Warriors and they lost to the Warriors. You know, and that, you look at that and you go, you know, it's almost a little bit it's a high and a low in terms of, you know, this portion of the year and this season. Because you say, wow, like they have the ability and the talent to stick with those teams and beat them, and they're also, you know, 10-20, you know, 10-19 against other teams, you know, that other teams that are, you know, generally speaking, going to be lesser opponents than those two teams that are the best in the league right now in terms of their respective conferences. And so, you know, the Bucks, you know, you look at that and it's a head scratcher because you say, well, they have the talent and the ability. You know, they're not doing it every day and they're not, you know, bringing that same level of intensity, you know, when they're playing, you know, Detroit or Orlando or Charlotte or whoever it is, you know. And so, you know, like you mentioned, them being, you know, having the record that they have right now is nowhere near what they were expected to be or what they anticipated being. And so, you know, definitely a major downturn, you know, for the immediate future following, you know, such a high point. I mean, it's hard to say 41-41 is a high point, but getting back to the playoffs and having that momentum of winning two games against the Bulls and, you know, feeling like, you know, the whole world was ahead of them, that they had this team coming back and they got the free agent that they wanted over the summer and they had the team that they wanted to have, and then suddenly boom, 0-3 to start the year, you know, and stringing losses together, you know, with regularity, yeah, you know, since then.
Well, just even that Knicks game, the opener, I mean, it couldn't have been more stunning, you know, that they gave up 122 points, but that was a sign of things to come. That I think I had looked it up yesterday. They ranked 20th in the league, giving up 102, I think, 0.3 a game. So, and you know, that's with some improvement. We remember how they started the season.
Right.
That's with some improvement on the defensive side. But that's still a work in progress. And, yeah, and we've talked about how the East has improved as well. But, yeah, there are just a lot of things that they have to work out as a team. And, you know, other teams have had that too, but some other teams, Orlando, Charlotte, you know, they've started to come together the way the Bucks did last year. And I think some of the changes that were made in the offseason obviously affected the Bucks defense. That's clear.
Yeah, oh, there's no question about that. And but when we look back at 2015, I think the most significant thing that people are going to remember is the arena deal. I think people are going to, you know, look back at this year, and regardless of what the Bucks were doing on the court, you know, they're going to say that was the year that the arena deal started to go through, and there was all that buzz and all the debate and all the excitement and all the, you know, the worry about, for some people, about spending the money, and ultimately, you know, that's what got signed. So this was the first year that signaled a step forward, you know, for the Bucks moving to a new arena in the next few years. And so I think that's going to be the most memorable thing, you know, for a lot of people when we look back at 2015, don't you think?
Yeah, that also, of course, was it removed a tremendous uncertainty around the franchise. That was the biggest thing about it from the basketball point of view, that you don't have players wondering, you don't have coaches, front office people wondering, hey, am I working for a team that is still going to be playing in Milwaukee? I remember way back to the Milwaukee Braves when that happened in the 1960s, when I was still pretty young then, Matt, actually. But I do remember it. And it's, as you say, it could just be a real, you know, and that team did move. But this appears that it will be a much happier ending. We'll start seeing groundbreaking and more moves of construction in this new year in 2016. And yeah, there was a lot of work done on many sides of that. And we had some Tom Dakin reporting on that. We had some Don Walker did such a great job reporting on that before his death. And he was such a tremendous reporter, as we all know, and how he worked so hard on that story. It's tough for me to think about not having Don around, but he would call me every day, or we would always stay in contact, and he wanted to know what was happening on the basketball side, and he would always tell me about what was happening with the arena issues. And I know he did just such a tremendous job, which I respected so much. But it is a big story, Matt, and I think it will continue. There will be more things, obviously, as the construction gets underway. There's talk about the parking structure, practice facility. There are a lot of elements to it. You have to think it's really going to revitalize downtown. I know there's a lot of positioning and jockeying of you know, businesses that all want to be part of this, bars and restaurants, and it's going to be a different looking downtown in Milwaukee, I'm sure of that, in the future.
Yeah, and speaking of the future, you know, one last thing that we'll touch on before we go, we'll have a little bit of an abbreviated podcast, since you've got a game to get to, you know, with the Bucks taking on the Pacers, and
yes,
you know, it is New Year's Eve. Got to get this out before you know, people start, you know, going on with their New Year's plans. But let's look to the future a little bit. You know, what do you think if the Bucks as a team or as an organization needed to make any New Year's resolutions, you know, what do you think is something that they would look to change in the new year?
Well, one thing, Matt, I think they want to use this speed. They want to use this athletic ability that they have out there with Giannis, MCW, Jabari. We know they're not great shooters. We know that. So they have to maximize their skills and their length. And, you know, talk about length. Still, when I go around the league, people just shake their heads. You know, Hanson will block a shot, or Giannis will make a dunk with the Euro step and crazy move. He made one the other night in Oklahoma that people at the press table were just like, wow, did he just do that? So, you know, they want to play a style that will allow them to maximize those strengths. And I think playing faster is something the team is trying to do. And know, I saw Coach Prunty the other night, you know, waving his up, go, go, when they had the ball in the backcourt. And you recall that earlier this season, Jason Kidd said that, you know, he threw out that number 21, that he wants that ball across midcourt, basically in 3 seconds. They want them to push the pace. But, of course, they also want a better defense. They don't want to be giving up 130 points. So there's a balance there, I guess. But I think that's something that could be a New Year's resolution. I think another New Year's resolution will just be to continue the rebuilding effort, however that's going to go. That may mean some trades of veterans at the deadline. It may mean different things as we go along. I was really impressed by Cameron Payne, the Oklahoma City rookie guard, when I saw him on Tuesday night. Of course, I don't get to see him much, and he hasn't been playing much until the last few games. This was only the second game where he was in the rotation. But obviously, Billy Donovan felt he was ready now, and he had 16 points in 15 minutes, confidently shot the three. I mean, he just went by, you know, he just was zooming past the Bucks guards. I mean, and it just shows one of the Thunder employees cracked him. He said, well, maybe being in the lottery wasn't so bad. As we remember, they didn't make the playoffs because of the injuries to Durant and Westbrook last year. Now, that won't be the case this year.
No.
They look at it for to be a real contender in the West playoffs. Nobody's going to want to play them, I don't think, that. But, again, my point is a kid like that, who I think he was the 14th pick, can even give you a jolt. We remember Giannis as the 15th pick. How important he's become to the Bucks. So I think the draft, again, when you're looking at 2016 in the long view, the draft will be very, very important for this team.
Yeah, and when you mentioned, you know, accepting the faster pace and playing to their skill set, you know, you look at games like the one that was recently played that you were at against the Thunder. It was a high-scoring, high-tempo game. You know, and both games against the Warriors too were high tempo, you know, high scoring yes. games, and the Bucks seem to thrive in that environment. You know, they're a young team; they turn the ball over a lot. We know that, but when they're playing faster, they're not necessarily any sloppier than when what they normally are. And so
they can turn it over in the half court, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And if
they're not a team with spot shooters, you know, who can stretch the floor, they're easier to defend in the half court. And so, you know, resolving to say, hey, you know what, this is who we are, this is our personnel, let's get up and down. And if we can't, you know, if there's a situation where we can't push the tempo, well, then that's maybe where we go to our best half court player, which is Greg Monroe. That's when we try and feed the post and work through him to create opportunities for other people and driving lanes and things like that. You know, and so that's part of it too. Like, you know, they need to resolve, you know, in the theme of New Year's resolutions, to figure themselves out. They still haven't figured out exactly who they are or what they want to be. I think they're still trying to be that strong defensive team that they were last year, and they don't have the personnel for it. You know, Greg Monroe isn't the defender that Zaza Pachulia is, and Jabari Parker isn't the defender that Ersan Ilyasova is. Are those guys good at other skills? Do they bring other things to the table? Do they have more upside in other areas? I think you can very much argue all of those things. You know, but at the same time, you know, they're not as good on the defensive end. That's just how it is. You know, they're not as good about being in the right space at the right time to provide help, or, you know, to close down lanes or to play bigger than they are. You know, even though, you know, Zaza's not a vertical threat, you know, he was always where he needed to be, and he always closed out space by making himself wide.
It's positioning.
Exactly. It's all about positioning. And you mentioned, you know, focusing on the future. And I think that, you know, guys with expiring contracts like O.J. Mayo or Jared Bayless could be of interest to contending teams, you know, as they get ready for the playoffs. I mean, right now the Bucks aren't anywhere close to the playoffs. I mean, they're the sixth worst team in the NBA, you know, tied with the Nuggets. They're 6.5 games behind being tied for a playoff spot, with the Boston Celtics, who are currently in the eighth spot, and they would have to pass
four teams.
Yeah. I mean, the only teams in the East they're ahead of are the Nets and the 76ers, and that's nothing to be proud of. So
and the Nets have started winning a few games. So
and the Sixers just won another one last
and
night.
Ish Smith, the former Bucks player, how about that? Being signed by the Sixers, and he led up to victory over Sacramento last night. 18 points and 9 assists. So yeah. Bucks fans will remember Ish.
So the big thing is here is that, you know, I think the Bucks front office, I think they're probably already looking at how they're going to handle the trade deadline, considering the way the season's gone. You know, they're very likely going to have to at least highly consider being sellers. You know, how much does OJ Mayo fit into your future plans? How much does Jared Bayless fit into your future plans? You know, and Grievous Vasquez has an expiring contract too, but he's injured, and I don't think anyone's going to be interested in an injured Grievous Vasquez, who has very little prospects of coming back at any time where he could be of value. So you have to kind of look at
it. Also been some talk about Miles Plumlee, as you recall, Matt, being on the trading block. So as he's had limited minutes, he's played fairly well in the minutes that he has played. I think about that game in Oakland, he played tremendous. And he's athletic, you know, he can block shots, he can jump. So, but they have a commitment to Henson, to John Henson, with the 4-year, $44 million contract. So that makes him a possible trade target as well.
Yeah, and so they have to, you know, say, you know what, in the new year, we got the free agent we wanted, we got the team together that we wanted, and it didn't work out. So now we need to say, we need to accept that it didn't work out and continue that push for the future. They've always said this was supposed to be around a 5-year turnaround plan. You know, we're only in year two. You know, they overachieved in year one. And so now they're kind of regressing to the mean a little bit in year two. And, you know, so they need to keep working on that young core, figuring out, you know, who the pieces are that they want for the future. And then everyone else around them is, I wouldn't say expendable, but they're tradable. And so you have to figure out, you have to identify who those guys are that you want to target and what you can get returned for them, you know, and decide who your team is going to be, you know, for the future, and be realistic about it. And so, yes. You know, I think that's definitely going to be something that will keep you very busy for the next few months.
We'll be following that in 2016. No question about that. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. 2015 was a very interesting year for the franchise, as we've discussed. And I think 2016 will be the same way.
All right. Well, that's a good way to finish off our last podcast of the year. Good luck tonight at the Bucks Pacers game. It's a good early tip for you. Yeah, happy New Year to you. And we will figure out a time next week to get another podcast in, our first of 2016. And thank you everyone for joining us and listening to this and to all of our podcasts. And you can always subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher, or go to jsonline.com/bucks to find the latest Bucks podcast, and you can stream it there or download it or listen however you'd wish. So again, thank you for joining, and we'll talk to you all again next week.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.